Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, a sweep, 4 wins, 3 days. We're going to talk about the latest win, the Dodgers taking down the D-backs once again. Talk about Walker Buehler, talk about the offense, and talk a little bit about the bullpen, covering everything. So make sure to keep it on tap with Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day, and remind you, you can find us on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Make it easy on yourself and subscribe in all those places so we'll come straight to you and you'll never miss a day, because you know that we're not going to. This is your first time listening and watching. I'm Vince Samperio with my co-host Jeff Snyder, back together here to talk about a Dodgers sweep. We are both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent some time in the press box and in the locker room. We're not quite insiders, but we do bring you the smart fans perspective on our Boys in Blue every weekday morning. Go ahead and subscribe, as I mentioned, and make it easy on yourself. Just like the Dodgers made it look easy-ish over the last 3 days with 4 wins against the Diamondbacks. Jeff, first, before we get into just all the topics we have, it's nice to lose 4 in a row, come back, win 5 in a row, sweep the Diamondbacks, who had lost a series to already this year. And best of all, they missed Zach Gallen, who was the guy who's had their number in the past. Although Zach Davies could be a guy you say they've had their number in the past, and they beat him on Wednesday.
Yeah, although Zach Gallen has the advantage over of Zach Davies of actually being a good pitcher. Zach Davies is just one of those piece of garbage pitchers who the Dodgers struggle against sometimes. Luckily, Wednesday wasn't one of those days.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to talk about Walker Buehler. Let's start off Walker Buehler. He got the win. He made pitches when he needed to, but it just continues. We thought Walker Buehler had turned a corner of sorts after the first few starts, not so great. The next few starts, great, culminated by the complete game shutout in Arizona. But now we go back to his last two starts. This one, just the 2 runs allowed, but only made it through 5 innings. Last start, got knocked around by the Phillies a bit. And it just, you know, Walker Buehler's still not quite there in terms of what we know him to be and what we expect, but still can get the job done when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing to remember is Buehler was generally a slow starter until last year. I think last year was the first year that he didn't start off pretty slow. And so maybe we're just back to Buehler as a slow starter, and last year was the anomaly. But like you said, we still see those flashes. Obviously, during this quote-unquote slow start, he did have the complete game shutout. And we saw in the 5th inning on Wednesday's game that even on a day that he doesn't quite have it, he's able to reach down and get what he needs. The D-backs had bases loaded, nobody out. At this point, it was 5-2. And so, and you know, the Dodgers had a healthy lead, but, you know, the go-ahead run was at the plate. And with bases loaded, nobody out, your goal as a pitcher is kind of to try to get out of that with just 1 run allowed. And you're even satisfied-ish with 2 runs allowed. You try not to let all 3 of those guys score. But instead, Buehler struck out 2 batters in a row and then got the 3rd out. And so, it was a huge momentum shift, to the extent that momentum matters in the course of an actual baseball game, that the D-backs seemed like they had things lined up. You know, and we saw the opposite in the Dodgers-Phillies games last weekend, with the Dodgers having bases loaded and not being able to get guys in, and how deflating that can be. And Walker Buehler did the deflating on the Diamondbacks in that very situation. And so, like, his stuff looked good. It seemed like, I don't know, maybe just a command issue of not being able to put the pitches where he wanted them, because, you know, velocity wise he looked fine and everything. And it's got to be the most infuriating thing as a pitcher to have all these good pitches and not be able to do what you want to with them all the time. But overall, you know, it's one of those games where Buehler gets a win and gave us 5 innings, and thankfully, the Dodgers did have the game yesterday that didn't need much of the bullpen. Phil Bickford was the only reliever who pitched on Tuesday in the night game. You know, and even the earlier game, they did a pretty good job of limiting that damage. So they had enough relievers to get through this game, and then they have a day off to celebrate on Thursday. Finally, a day off after 14 games in 12 days.
Yeah, and a new reliever in David Price, who got to pitch for the first time, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But Buehler, I mean, it's just I'm looking at it at the to see kind of what the big difference is. He's not getting whiffs. His whiffs are down and just for just about every pitch this year, except his slider. But his slider usage isn't quite up there anyways. You know, just looking at the fastball, I mean, he's allowing currently a 391 batting average against the fastball. His whiff percentage on fastball is 12.2%, down from 20.3% last year. Put away percentage on that is 8.9% this year, 19.3% in years past. And, you know, he's never been below 20% on whiff or put away on his fastball in his career. So I don't know if it's a matter. And the velocity is still there. He's 95.3 last year, 95.1 this year. There's not much difference in velocity. It does seem that he's not throwing consistently upper 90s as he has in the past, but he's still consistently throwing the mid 90s for sure. So it might be an issue of command. It might be an issue. You know, his spin rate's down a little bit, but I don't expect that to be, you know, he pitched all of last year without the sticky stuff or whatever the case was, if you want to look at spin rate. So yeah, it's the big outlier is the fastball. Everything else, all his other pitchers are still doing pretty good and close enough to his career to where it's not a concern. It's the fastball. I don't know if it's a matter of location or if it's a matter of sequencing, but whatever it is, that's kind of where, if you look at past years and you look at now, that's where the difference is.
Yeah. And Buehler is a famously intelligent pitcher, really into the data, really driven. And so I imagine he's already, as we're sitting here talking about the game, I imagine he's already digging into those numbers because he's aware of all this stuff too. And so he's going to try to figure out why that fastball isn't being as effective as it has in the past. And I'm, you know, as confident as I can be in pretty much any pitcher that he will at least figure it out. Whether that means he can rectify it, that's a different question, but I think he'll at least be able to figure out what's going on and do his best to make improvements there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the slow start, and you know Buehler came into camp a little bit behind already. So in theory, you could think, you know, maybe he's in April of his normal thing now, even though his pitch count's up there in terms of how much he's throwing. You know, maybe he's in the April now, and you know the rest of the time when he usually heats up is coming, and you can look at that. And obviously, you know, I don't have too many doubts on Walker Buehler. He's a guy that I trust completely to figure it out if he's not all quite there. And he's a guy that already has made adjustments here and there. You know, he's thrown curveballs more in some games. He's, you know, thrown changeups a little bit more often than some, whatever the cutter, starting off with different pitches. So he's obviously trying to figure it out as well, and I think he will.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to come. He's too good. And those other pitches are really, really good. So even if he can't figure out the fastball, the answer will be, okay, figure out what other pitches to use instead. And, you know, because that's one of the ways to make your fastball more effective is to use your other pitches more effectively so that the fastball can play off of those. And he does have a teammate who has done a pretty good job of maintaining effectiveness with the decreasingly effective fastball. So I know that Clayton Kershaw says Buehler doesn't want a mentor, but you know, Kershaw's there if Buehler has any questions.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to stick in the pitching realm, talk a little bit about the bullpen as a whole, but first let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar. Now we're talking brownie batter puffs. We were talking birthday cake puffs. Now we're talking brownie batter puffs. Brownie batter just sounds delicious in its own. And if you could make that delicious but also good for you, wouldn't you want to do that? Well, that's what Built Bar does. And you can get it now. You can get 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 7 grams of sugar from these new brownie batter puffs. The perfect pick-me-up for any day. I haven't tried them yet, but I'm sure they're delicious. I'm going to have to try some because I do love brownies. I do love brownie batter, and I do love Built Bar puffs. So I'm going to have to check it out. But just whatever you need it for, it's there for you. So go check it out. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off. Go order some brownie batter puffs. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out the Locked On Now podcast with recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts and our current expert here, Jeff Snyder. The Locked On Podcast Network, the Locked On Now podcast, can take fans through the season like no other network, and it's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, Jeff, so there's a lot to get into in this segment here, talking bullpen. First off, we didn't mention yesterday that Tommy Kahnle, we had mentioned, or maybe we didn't, that he had gone on the injured list. He's going to get an MRI. Not quite sure exactly what it didn't sound great, but we'll see what happens there. The Dodgers made a lot of moves the last few days, but we see the guys that are going to be the guys in the future. One of those guys that's probably not a guy in the future, but a guy that looked good coming back off the COVID IL was David Price. We talked about him potentially being, you know, a trade. The Dodgers were reportedly by Peter Gammon saying that they could trade him to somewhere where he could get some starts. He still has to build back up. Dave Roberts really, you know, is not concerned, I guess, about getting him built back up, obviously, on the major league team. So I don't know exactly what the plan is for David Price, but at the very least, he came in a big spot and did look pretty good, at least in a reliever role. So if anything, if they can find a taker for him, they can show that tape to whoever it is.
Yeah, and he came in a big spot too. I think it was first and second with two outs. Gratterall had been pitching, had already allowed a run. And, you know, David Price came in as one of those, kind of the feeling I talked about in yesterday's episode about how we kind of felt sometimes when Kenley was coming in, like, which version are we going to get? And the version of David Price we got was the one that faced four batters and struck out three of them. And we probably won't get that version super often. I don't think that's David Price's game anymore these days. But there's something to be said about being a veteran, not being, you know, flapped by the pressure in that situation, and to be able to just come in and throw strikes and trust your stuff. And, you know, when he's healthy, David Price's stuff is still pretty okay. It's nothing like what it was when he was winning the Cy Young Award, but he's got decent stuff and he knows how to pitch. And so, you know, I don't know. I still have a hard time seeing, well, I don't have a hard time seeing because I know pitchers get hurt all the time. And so, you know, maybe that's David Price's path to staying with the Dodgers is other guys getting hurt. But if everybody's healthy, David Price definitely doesn't fit in a 13-man pitching staff on this Dodgers team long-term. But I don't know, you know, while he's here, I'm glad that he was able to come in and get the job done there. And yeah, I don't know what his future is going to hold.
Yeah, and it's confusing to say the least just in terms of what it is. But things always seem to search those out, and this would be kind of one of the weird times where the Dodgers have, I wouldn't necessarily say he's like a big asset, but asset, depending on how loose you use the word, an asset to trade away. And, you know, I don't think they're looking for much, and they're going to have to pay down salary, but either way. You mentioned Bruiser Gratterall. Let's get into Bruiser Gratterall because he's a guy, he's lovable, so for the most part, he doesn't get the ire from Dodger fans as often. But you look at the numbers, and he's up to a 4.50 ERA in 15 games, the most games of anybody on the pitching staff. He's walked eight guys, only struck out 12, given up seven earned runs, 11 hits, you know, a whip at 1.36. And a guy who, I think it's because it hasn't come in, like, big situations. I think he's given up. I don't think he's given up any leads this year. I think he's had a couple of times where he's come in a close game and the other team extended the lead. But yeah, Gratterall is just, I don't know. He's still lovable. Everyone still likes him, but he's not quite the most effective reliever the Dodgers have at the moment, especially with, you look at everybody else in there and a couple guys we'll talk about in a little bit. So yeah, Jeff, what is to make of Bruiser Gratterall?
Yeah, it's hard because like you said, his strikeout rate, he's down to, what did I say it was before we started? 7.7 strikeouts per nine. I mean, even though he started this season getting a few more strikeouts, he's back down to basically where he was last year when he had one of the lowest strikeout rates of any relief pitcher in baseball. Relief pitchers are known for striking batters out, especially relief pitchers who throw 100 miles an hour. And Gratterall faced five batters on Wednesday and didn't strike out any of them. And it showed again, sometimes contact can hurt you. And when he has been getting his strikeouts, even the ones he has gotten, I tweeted about this the other day, he has 12 strikeouts, but 10 of those have come either with nobody on base or with two outs. And the other, he only has two strikeouts in a situation where you think, man, we could really go for a strikeout right now. Because nobody on base, fine. Get all the pop-ups you want. Two outs, I don't care how you get that third out. Just get it. But guys on base, less than two outs, you're thinking, okay, let's get a strikeout here. Come on, man. And it's not happening. He's not getting strikeouts when he needs to. I don't totally understand it. I've told you guys my theory in the past. I think everybody talks about how easy his 100 miles an hour looks. I think that's part of the problem because he doesn't have to put any effort into throwing that hard. And that effort is striding farther and actually putting more oomph. And, I looked last year, Aroldis Chapman, I forget what the term they have for it is, but basically how far you are from the hitter when you actually release the ball. He's throwing the ball from about a foot closer to the plate than Gratterall is. And 100 miles an hour from where Gratterall's throwing it probably looks about like 96 because people have got that extra foot, and a foot matters quite a bit. And so I don't know if there's a way around that because that's how he pitches. And I actually asked a guy who was on the Dodgers player development staff about that specifically. And he said that the concern is, if you tweak his mechanics, who knows what's going to happen, whether it's going to be he's going to lose command or he's going to hurt himself or whatever. But man, I would love to see what would happen if Bruzdar Gratterall would actually step towards the plate when he throws and throw from a foot closer to the plate, because my guess is he'd add another mile or two an hour to his fastball and he'd be a foot closer. And so it would be like he was adding 5 or 6 miles an hour. And I think Gratterall, instead of having a perceived velocity of 96, he would have a perceived velocity of 102. And that's hard to hit.
Yeah. And that's where we're at. I mean, we've been saying that or talking about his mechanics since they first got him. And, he's been fun and he's gotten big outs, to his credit, he's gotten big outs in late in the season and in the postseason. Last year he had a kind of a weird year, but really turned it on in September, found his way onto the postseason roster and was making, big contributions there late in the game in October. And with him, it's exactly what you said. It's strikeout percentage. He's middle of the pack in strikeout percentage, 44th percentile. He's 45th percentile in whiff percentage. Everything else there is up. He doesn't allow hard contact. He's in the 94th or above percentile in just about everything else of expected batting average, expected slugging, hard hit percentage, average exit velocity. He doesn't prevent it, but a couple flares here and there and a regular base hit is a run or two runs, regardless of how hard you're throwing, regardless of you preventing hard contact. So there is times when you do need those strikeouts, and that's when he doesn't come through. But we'll see. Maybe he's a guy that just turns it on late in the season, and they're going to have to continue to see if that's the case. Or, there's not too much, I don't think. They've worked with his sequencing this year. He's thrown a little bit different than he did in the years past, and it still hasn't led to kind of what you would think it would lead to.
Yeah, it's funny. While you were talking, I saw a tweet from J.P. Hornstra. I mentioned that both Walker Buehler and Bruzdar Gratterall threw their hardest pitches of the season in this game. Buehler's was 97.6 and Gratterall's was 101.5. And I just pulled it up and the one that was 101.5 fouled off. You'd think you throw your hardest pitch of the season, you're going to get a swing and miss. Nope, foul ball. In fact, if you sort Gratterall's by all the pitches he threw by velocity, fastest to slowest, you got to go to the sixth pitch to get a swinging strike and to the 13th one to get the next swinging strike. He only had three swinging strikes out of 21 pitches. And 14 of those 21 pitches were 99 miles an hour or faster. Like, you got to get more swing and miss when you throw that hard. But look at these. It's foul, ball, in play, outs, called strike, swinging strike, ball, foul, ball. Like, it's just get some swing and miss, boy.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I don't know if there's much to change this year, but he's just going to have to work on being more effective and cutting down the walks. 8 walks in 15 appearances is not going to cut it either. But We're going to talk a little bit about our bullpen, but let's talk about BetOnline first real quick. BetOnline.net, the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You check out their website. They got odds, sports, live betting, esports, podcasts. You can find all the Locked On podcasts there. You can find the French Open preview. You can find a PGA Championship preview. You can see Cy Young Award races, everything like that. They have a newsletter you can sign up for. They got scores for all the games going on. So go to BetOnline.net, check it out, see what you need, and they got it there for you. All the latest odds, news, sports developments, basketball playoffs, MLB scores, fights, and next season's NFL futures. It's all right there. So head over there on your laptop or mobile device. Learn all about the trends. Learn all about the action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, not getting too deep into bullpen since we talked about two of the main guys. But one guy that does deserve a mention for sure, Justin Brule. He came in and did well on Wednesday. He's now up to 10 appearances on the season, 10.1 innings, and he's got a 2.61 ERA. Doesn't quite have the strikeouts, 8 strikeouts in those 10 innings, but he's effective. And him, along with Alex Vesia, who's up there in appearances, and then now we saw David Price, the Dodgers have some left-handers that can do some work there for the Dodgers in the later innings.
Yeah, Brule's an interesting one because my brain tells me he's not young because he was an undrafted guy who, you know, when he came up, they made him sound like a journeyman, kind of minor league. Well, he's not even 25 yet, you know, like he's young. He's younger than Michael Grove, you know. And the fact that what he's been doing without dominant stuff, you know, at least like velocity wise, he doesn't throw that hard. But like you said, he's come in and he's pitched in 10 games now. He's allowed runs in 3 of them. And all in all, and one of them, it was like, okay, that he came in with a 9-0 lead and he gave up a run. He came in with a 10-1 or a 10-0 lead, you know, a game that the Dodgers won 10-2. All the runs he's allowed have come in wins that the Dodgers won handily. But when he's come in situations where they actually need him to be effective, he's been really good. And I don't know. I feel like until I understand it, it's hard for me to get too excited about, because like he does only have 8 strikeouts in 10 1/3 innings. And so, you know, we're just talking about Gratterall not getting strikeouts. And, you know, it's less frustrating when it's Brule because you don't watch him pitch and think, man, this guy needs to be striking more guys out. But, you know, the results have been positive. He's done what he's needed to do. He's pitched some big innings for him. And he does throw with his left hand, and there's always a little bit of a premium on a guy like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's down a little bit in velocity at this point in the year than he was to last year. But he's upped his cutter usage from 58% to 70%. He's doubled the whiff percentage on that pitch from 15% to 30%, and quadrupled it on put-away percentage of 10 to 40%. So whatever he worked on with the cutter, that's working right now. And his sinker also has been good in small spurts. So, you know, maybe it's one of those, like, you know, Phil Bickford, we tried to figure it out last year, and we thought it was, you know, with Bickford, you could kind of see he threw mid-90s, and he has that extension that makes it look probably faster than mid-90s. With Brule, I'm going to have to, you know, keep an eye out a little bit more as he comes in, because I'm trying to figure it out, like you said, trying to figure out what exactly it is. But, hey, it's effective for now, and that's all the Dodgers can ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. Get the job done is my number one criteria for a relief pitcher. But yeah, Strike guys out is really close second.
Yeah. Let's shift to the offense, and a guy who's been getting hot. I got to look up the stats after I talked about Justin Turner in their solo half of one of my shows, where, you know, I didn't ask for him to be played less, but I said, are we close to him having to be played less? And since then, he's not quite there in terms of Justin Turner's back, but Justin Turner's close to being back. The power's back. At the very least, he's hitting mistake pitches over the fence. That's what he did on Wednesday. That's what he did the other night to tie the game in the 9th against the Phillies. And yeah, Justin Turner is seemingly heating up, which would be on par with his past seasons, regardless, except last year where he was hot from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't need Justin Turner to hit 35 home runs, but I do need him to be the kind of guy who can occasionally hit you a home run and will hit a big home run like he did on Wednesday, like he did the other day against the Phillies, even though that ended up unfortunately being in a losing cause. You know, and that's what we're seeing. He's starting to, what's he got now? 4 home runs, which, you know, by May 18th, that's kind of, 4 is about what we would have expected from him. It was the fact that he wasn't doing anything in April. In previous years, even though he didn't have any power in April, he was still hitting okay. And this year, he just wasn't doing anything. But, I mean, his OPS is up to 622 now, which is still not good. But, you know, it's getting there. And from where it was a couple weeks ago, you know, he had that 4-hit game in Pittsburgh. He's had some big games. And, you know, for me, just the eye test is when he comes to the plate, you don't feel like it's an automatic out. You actually feel like he might do something. And that's something that wasn't really the case in April.
Yeah, and the weird part this year is that he's not really drawing those walks. I mean, in the past, you go down in his Dodger tenure and you look at his on-base percentage and 404, 370, 339, 415, 406, 372, 400, you know, 361. Obviously, his batting averages are up there, so it helps out. But this year, he's down to 255 on base. He's not really walking that often. I think he had 10 walks in 35 games. He's not really striking out either, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's leading the Dodgers in RBI. He's had some big home runs lately. He looks like he's figuring things out a little bit. And like you mentioned, he's not the number 4 hitter anymore. He's not the number 3 hitter anymore. You know, he's a number 5-6 hitter, and not just based on production, but based on, you know, the Dodgers have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner, top 3. You got Will Smith at number 4. You know, if Max Muncy figures it out, him and Turner are there in the 5-6 spots. And you know, there's a with him, it's always, you know, double-edged sword. He puts the ball in play fairly often, but that also can mean he hits into a lot of double plays. And unfortunately, earlier in the year, he was hitting into a lot of ground balls, a lot of double plays. Now he's starting to figure things out a little bit, getting the ball in the air again. And yeah, we can't say he's definitively back, but you know, you look at just the last week, the last 7 games, I think he's slugging 680, which is higher than his OPS for the season. So at the very least, he's starting to hit the ball a little bit harder and a little bit further.
Yeah, he's not walking much. And maybe most notably, he's also not getting hit by pitches. Hasn't been hit by a pitch yet this year. He hasn't had single-digit hit by pitches in a full season since 2014. And full season 2014 was 322 plate appearances. And he only had, I guess he only had 4 then. But basically, starting in 2015, he's been a hit by a pitch monster. And that helps his OBP too. I do think the walks will start to come now that because I do think pitchers saw him as kind of automatic out too. And why would you pitch around Justin Turner when he's hitting like he was in April? But now, you know, hopefully with the pitchers will pitch him more carefully. And as he gets more confidence at the plate, his eye will continue to be good and he'll start getting some of those walks. He'll maybe get some of those hit by pitches and start to see a lot of those numbers tick up because, you know, he's not good. His OBP is 255 right now, and it's not going to stay there. You know, he's between his batting average coming up, that'll also drag up his on-base percentage, and his walk rate's going to go up. I think he'll get up to a 340 on-base percentage by the end of the year.
Yeah, love to see that. But let's stay with the offense. No one specifically, but there will be names, obviously. But just the fact, you know, we've talked about the Dodgers offense where they don't need everybody to be on. When everybody's on, they can average, you know, 7 or 8 runs a game realistically. And they haven't had more than like a couple guys on at a time. This might be the best stretch they've had. You know, Mookie Betts has been on fire. Freddie Freeman's been consistent. Trey Turner's been pretty good lately. Justin Turner's been hitting the ball well lately. And, you know, that's 4 guys that are hitting consistently well. You got Will Smith, who still has bad luck, but is always hitting the ball consistently hard. You mix that in with the occasional games here and there from guys, everyone else in the lineup. You know, Edwin Rios having a hot streak the last week. And it's just a matter of the Dodgers, you know, Mookie Betts getting on, Freddie Freeman or Trey Turner driving them in or driving them both in like we saw the last 2 days. It's got to be that, you know, that's when the Dodgers are going to be good. That's when the Dodgers, you know, and it seems obvious, but it's deflating for you to find yourself down after the first 3 batters. And there's been a few times this year that the Dodgers have done that. And, you know, it's just a shout out to the offense and what it can be. And we've seen that the last few days, you know, even in the Philly series, they were losing, but they weren't losing because they weren't hitting. Just the one game, they didn't put up, you know, more than 4 runs or 5 runs, whatever it was. So that's where we're at on the offensive side. And it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. The last couple of days, Chris Taylor has been the only real negative. He's 0 for 8 with 5 strikeouts again. After, you know, the first part of this homestand, he stopped striking out nearly as much, was hitting the ball really well. And so, you know, hopefully this is just a 2-game blip and he'll be fine. Getting to face Phillies pitching again will probably help that. But, yeah, I mean, the offense, when you have this many good hitters, you don't need everybody to be on. And no team has ever had more than a couple games in a row where everybody was hitting well. But a team like this, you don't need everybody to hit well. You have 3 or 4 guys in each game who are hitting well. Well, you're going to score 5 or 6 runs a game. And that's really good way. You know, the Dodgers, that's why they've scored the most runs in baseball. And their pitching has allowed the second fewest runs in baseball. And that's a really good formula for winning. Score a bunch of runs and don't allow very many. If I was writing a book on how to win a baseball game, I think that would be chapter one.
And that's that quality analysis everybody comes here for.
That's Locked On Dodgers, baby.
All right, so Dodgers finally do have an off day. Yes, as fans enjoy the off day. We haven't had one in a while either. We've had 14 games in 12 days, like you mentioned earlier. Anything else you want to say before we head out?
I just want to give a quick shout out to Cole. I don't know his last name. It starts with a G. He and his 3-year-old son, Michael. Michael? Sorry, I'm going to get Cole's son's name right. His son, Michael. Cole and Michael listen to this podcast together. And I think teaching your 3-year-old son to listen to Locked On Dodgers is the definite. If I was going to write a book on how to be a good parent, that would be chapter one. Listen to Locked On Dodgers with your 3-year-old son. So thanks, Cole and Michael.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. Make sure to check out Locked On MLB if you need something else to listen to with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully, talking about MLB, past and present, and getting into the different things. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Other ways to find us, if you're not looking on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts, we are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. You can also find us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.